You've probably seen that famous clip of rower Sir Steve Redgrave shortly after winning his fourth Olympic gold medal saying, "If you ever see me in a boat, shoot me," or words to that effect. Well, if you'd been hanging around Tenby in Pembrokeshire a few weeks back, you'd have heard similar sentiments coming from a competitor in the Ironman Wales competition. Ellie Barnes of Barnes Fitness fame, who you may know as one of the organisers behind the Twyford Fun Run and other local events, had, after months of training and sacrifice, been forced to quit just a few hours into the 112-mile bike section of the race. Ellie, who was raising money for First Day's children's charity, a bit more on that later, had already swum 2.4 miles and also had a marathon in front of her. So why had this happened? Well, heat exhaustion, of course. A blast of freak tropical weather had descended on Wales and Ellie's dream was over. Or was it? I've been speaking to her to find out more.
I thought I had hydrated really well during the week. I thought I'd fueled really well during the week, eaten everything that I could that was in my sight. But come race day, I didn't feel great. I started the swim. I did the swim and got out the swim actually in a time that I was really quite happy with, in just over an hour, hour and 7 minutes, I think it was. Got out on the bike and just had no power. Just didn't feel great at all. And then I got a puncture. I have never had a puncture before in training or in a race. I got a puncture at about mile 40 on the bike, which threw me a little bit, especially as I struggled to repair it. And then at the bottom of one of the hills, I just started crying and I got off my bike and I just didn't think I could make it. There's nothing flat in Wales either. You're either going uphill or downhill. I did get up that hill, then the next hill came and I just couldn't do it. So I pulled into what they call an aid station, kind of a marshal stop, and just said to the marshals, they're volunteer marshals, people that we love, people that help me at my events, and just said, "I don't feel very well." And they said, "Get off your bike." I said, "I can't." So they literally had to help me get off my bike, and then they didn't realize that was clipped into my pedals. So they had to help me do that bit. And then Ellie was laying on the floor in a bit of a mess, called an ambulance, and ambulance came about 45 minutes later, I think. And just said I was extremely dehydrated and heat exhaustion. That was my Wales experience. Wasn't the greatest.
so you mentioned earlier on about hydration in the time before the race. Can you pinpoint what went wrong there? Did you do anything incorrectly?
If you're an athlete or trained for any kind of event, the number one rule is never do anything new on race day. I'm a coach. What did I go and do? I broke number one rule. I took an Imodium tablet on the morning of the race because my friends will take them and say it stops you needing to stop and go for the toilet. Because when you're cycling for 112 miles, stopping for the toilet isn't particularly convenient. So I took an Imodium and thought nothing of it. But that was kind of one of the first things the medic said to me, that's going to dehydrate you straight away.
Obviously, your immediate reaction was probably, thank God I'm okay, I'm presuming.
Correct.
But when did it kick in? When did the upset about not completing the Ironman kick in? Did that kick in? Were you just kind of relieved to get out of there in one piece?
I had a real mix of emotions, to be honest. As soon as my husband found me in the medical tent, I said, I'm never doing that again. I'm selling my bike and I'm going to go and see my brother in Australia with the money that I'm going to make from selling my bike, because it's not a cheap bike. And he was like, don't be ridiculous. This is just your knee-jerk reaction. And then, to be totally honest, I was ready to draw a line under it and just go, I've tried. It's not meant to be. The investment financially and in terms of time for that event has been huge. To enter the race, it was £500. Then we had the whole family there for the 3 days. So you're paying for accommodation for five of you for 3 days. And then on top of that, for that race, well, I upgraded my bike. I chose to upgrade my bike and I spent £3,000 on a bike.
And the time that goes into it as well.
Yeah. So I was training between 15 and 20 hours a week. every week since January. So it's huge. And I've got three children who are 8 and 9. So the time investment was huge. And I just didn't want to put my family through that again. My husband, on the other hand, and my coach were encouraging me because they had said, you've invested all this time, you're fit, we know you can do it. It just wasn't your day for various reasons on Sunday. So by the end of the week after I'd had my first ambulance journey, I had signed up to go to Ironman Portugal.
So we can reveal, I think we've already guessed already, yeah, that you did manage to complete it. What was the hardest part of this particular race, the Ironman you actually completed? What was the hardest bit of that? And how did you manage to get through it?
I think the hardest part for me was actually the cycle ride and the psychological side of that. It was going out on that bike course on my own, well, with the 2,000 other nutters that I think it's a good normal thing to do on a Sunday or a Saturday it was, to cycle 112 miles and just get around that bike course and get off that bike in one piece. That was, for me, just my challenge. And I did it. I had a moment of doubt. It was a two-lap course just before the end of the first lap, where I started getting stitch or cramp in my stomach. And I thought, oh no, here we go again. But I took a paracetamol that time. I've taken them before. I know those. I know the brand that works for me. I took a paracetamol and then 20 minutes later, I felt a lot better. And getting off that bike was the biggest relief of the day. And my strength, the bit I enjoy the most, is the run. So when I knew that I just had a marathon to run at the end, that was kind of my happy place.
On your press release, it says that you were hugely emotional when you finished it. Can you define that for me? That's not a euphemism for being drunk, hugely emotional.
No.
Can you tell me what that actually meant? How did that come out?
Literally in tears. So I crossed the finish line. I don't quite know what I was expecting when I finished. I knew there was a massive tent full of pizza and Red Bull and you could help yourselves to all of that. I wasn't interested in any of that. All I wanted to do was get out of that tent and find my husband and my coach that had come over with us. And I just found my husband really quickly because he's really tall. He's really easy to find. Found him and we both just cried. It's the second time in my life that I've ever seen him cry. So I think that's how much it meant to him that I'd actually finished. And it was just my exact words to him afterwards were, that is a crazy bonkers challenge. And it is, it's completely bonkers. It's just nothing normal about it. But I was just had the medal and done. And I just cried and said, I need chips. So we went to the chip shop. But for me, it's just, even in the last 2 weeks since I finished, being around more and being around more for my children, I've noticed how much tidier my house is, how much more organized I am, how much more energy I've got, because I'm not training 15 to 20 hours a week, which does completely zap you. So I think I'm going to do something I will do. I work towards challenges. That's how I roll. So I will enter something else, but it won't be an Ironman. That's for sure. Not in an immediate future.
Let's go on to talk about First Days Charity. You were raising money for First Days Charity. Why did you choose them?
So First Days is a fantastic local charity that helps families living in financial hardship with the essentials they need to be safe, have fun and be confident at school. And I'm passionate about having fun. I'm passionate about all children should be safe, and if you're not confident at school, that's a tough life. So I'm really passionate about trying to help families that are struggling to do that for their children. I actually organise events to raise money for First Days. So I am actually employed by First Days. But I first heard about First Days through Emma Cantrell, who set up the charity, who is actually a runner herself. And just kind of, to be honest, I started following her on Instagram before I got my job there, and was just really inspired by the work she does in the community and how she changes lives. It really is as dramatic as that. And the cost of living at the moment in this country is just ridiculous, bonkers. So anything I can do to help those families that are struggling is the least I can do.
And you were telling me they've started helping, that they're a Woking base, but they've also started helping families in Twyford as well.
Correct. Yeah. So we have a warehouse and a centre, a building in the centre of Wokingham where families can come and get school uniform or get things they need for the winter. So we've got things like air fryers to help reduce energy bills, heated blankets, anything like that. But we also have a van that we take out to the community because we know that not everyone can get around as easily as some others and get into the centre of Wokingham. So we have a van that goes out that's got, at the moment, it's got full of winter coats and welly boots and scarves and hats and things that people have donated that we can then pass on to other families. And that is going out in the Twyford area and Wargrave, excuse me, several times over the next few months. So yeah, it's on your doorstep.
And finally, you are the Barnes behind the Barnes Fitness, who organises the Twyford Fun Run and also the Santa Dash at Dinton Pastures. That is coming up in just a few weeks' time. Very excited about that. Are you going to enter? If so, do you fancy your chances of winning? So we know where to put our money.
There's a good question. So it's not competitive then. We don't record times at that event. I know. It's one of
come
the
on.
Very few.
Oh, come on now.
But there is come a chocolate Santa for the first Santa to cross the line. I have only ever run in one of my events once, and that was this year, actually. So I've been organising events for 10 years, and I've only ever taken part in one this year. I won't be running in it, but I will be organising it. And I actually really love this event because it isn't competitive. It's just about having fun, running around Dinton dressed as a Santa, which is, again, crazy bonkers. But that's how we roll. And it's about raising money for First Days. It's a really good, fun family event on the 16th of December.
And top tip for anyone who is interested in taking part, maybe lay off the Imodium on the morning of the event.
Was that a bit too much information, Ben?
I love that kind of stuff. Ellie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Ellie Barnes. And regarding First Days Children's Charity, they're currently running a campaign called A Christmas Presents, a project for families in our community. It's in partnership with Share Wokingham, Wokingham Food Bank and other local charities and groups, and they're transforming their Elevate Centre into a Christmas grotto and setting up a shop where parents and carers are invited to come and choose exactly what they know their children will love. If you want to find out more or help out in any way, then go to firstdays.net. I'll also put links to that and the Santa Dash in the show notes. Now, we're always looking for new stories to tell on the RG10 podcast, so if you have any ideas, do not be shy about getting in touch. Again, the show notes are the best place to go to find out how. You can also leave us a message on RG10's social media or via the reviews on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with the final episode of Series 10. Thanks for listening and goodbye.